Teaching demands patience. If a man will teach, or if a man will be taught, both the teacher and the listener, they must be patient. Teaching demands patience. Teaching demands meditation. When Jesus taught his parables in Mark's Gospel chapter 4 verse 24, he says, take it what you hear that you hear. The measure of thought and study you give to the word that you hear is a measure of the virtue that is measured back unto you. In other words, when it comes to teaching, you need to do a lot of thinking. Patiently. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2:24, Paul says, the man of God, the teacher of the word there, must not strive, but must be patient. He must be patient. He must be gentle. The man of God must not strive. He must be patient. So in the teaching and reception of the word, a man must be patient. In the parable of the sower, the man who brought forth more fruit was a man who patiently brought forth fruit. Patience, there's consistency. Patiently. Many people never come in contact with the word because they are always in a hurry when they hear the word. Always in a hurry. Rather than take your time to listen again and again and again. People are in a hurry. So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. So, being ignorant. Now look at the fact that here we are reading 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 1 to 31. Then chapter 14 from verse 1 to 40. We've been doing that study for many years. Maybe it's you, but I've been teaching from that portion of scripture at least 18 years today. Teaching from it in series of Bible study. Every time, just like today, this morning, this afternoon, when I had the course to go through what I was going to teach again, I began to thank God for the things that the Spirit within was opening my eyes again to see in the place of study and meditation. So you have to be patient. Patient in listening, patient in studying. Both are important. If you are going to teach, be patient. If you are going to learn, be patient. Be patient. Praise God. Very good. So he said, I would not have you ignorant. Now, I said last week that 1 Corinthians happens to be a material that, for me, it teaches me three things. Number one, teaches me personally how it teaches me a teaching skill, how to teach the word on its own as a minister of the word. Secondly, it helps me to see how problems can be solved amongst different classes of believers. And lastly, it lets me see how the truth of God's word is passed across in spite of the audience. So that material is so key. Because of what Paul said in the opening verses. I'm talking about chapter 3. You know, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, that means left to Paul, if he had the choice, 1 Corinthians should have started from chapter 12. Because it was chapter 12 verse 1 that says, now concerning spirituals, what gives in italics, I will not have you ignorant. But it says to them in chapter 3 verse 1, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes, as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you, verse 2, with milk and not with meat, which is a mode of communication, don't forget. For either though you were not able to bear, neither yet now are you able. So what does he say to them? You are yet carnal. Where is this? Among you envy, strife, and divisions, and are you not carnal and workers men? Now look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, it says in verse 13, with things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Take note of that word. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are foolishness unto him. The word foolishness in the Greek means senseless. It is something he cannot understand. And not just that he cannot understand, it's below his level of understanding. So they are foolishness unto him. They are senseless unto him. So the things of the Spirit will appear unto a man who is not born again as foolish. Now, the things of the Spirit here do not necessarily imply gifts of the Spirit, though they are inclusive. Because in chapter 1, it tells you what will appear foolish to a man who is not a recipient of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 1. It says in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross, the message, that's the word, is to them that perish, verse 18, foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. So it's foolishness. So the preaching of the cross is a spiritual information. It says they are foolishness. The man who is not born again. You know, during the week we you know, it is the cross, it is the preaching of the message of the cross is foolishness. The man who is not saved. Look at this. It says in verse 19, which is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. See that? The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching. So the message of redemption, the message of the Bible, is a foolish message. Spiritual things come to the mind of man. And I told you, the mind of man is corrupted. So the mind of man is that 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that says, every high thing that exalts above knowledge of, against knowledge of God, every imagination, every thought. So man thinks he is wise. Hence, he calls the things of the Spirit foolish. But God has brought to naught the wisdom of the wise. Who is the wise? Who is the scribe? In trying to calculate, they have not received the word. And they are foolish. So, when we say that they are foolishness to the man without the Spirit, we are the same in our minds, in the concept of where we all think, we all can rationalize. But in the real person of man, which is the Spirit of man, it is whether you have the Spirit of God or you don't have the Spirit of God. It is at that point that the things of the Spirit become foolish to you. However, it now says that there are no brothers in Christ who, by the reason of spiritual underdevelopment, will reason, act, talk and think like a man without the Spirit. For such men, it says they are foolish. Well, look at chapter 14 again. Chapter 14 talks about a man who is listening to something spiritual, that is tongues. In verse 33, if there comes in an unlearned man or an unbeliever, will they not say that, notice he didn't say, will you not be mad? Say, will they not say that you are mad? You are beside yourself. Will they not say that you are mad? So that's why I say, if I speak in tongues, verse 14, my understanding is unfruitful. What's tongues? Tongues is a thing of the Spirit. A thing, an activity of the Spirit. The word preached is an activity of the Spirit. So what does Paul do? He will mix it up. He will now take the word preached by the Spirit and bring the lowest form of man's highfalutin understanding to him, to himself, and communicate that which is so straightforward from the Spirit of God in such a way that the mind of man, though thinking it's wise, will now say, alright, makes sense to me now. But because man thinks it's wise, so he will look at the things of God and call it foolish. So when he says, I will not have you ignorant, that word ignorant is also, I will not have you foolish. I will not have you foolish. Because Paul had to let them know, he didn't want them to stay foolish, because that's what they were as babes. Men who their disposition was carnality. They are not born of, they are born of the Spirit, not of the flesh, but their disposition was carnality, like the flesh. So, the material helps us to see that things of the Spirit will appear as foolish to a man who has not trained himself in the Word, a man whose reasoning is just like a man who is not born again, the things of God. Amen. Good. So I will not have you ignorant, will take teaching. Teaching is to educate and discipline by instruction and explanation. To educate and discipline by instruction and education and explanation. So a man would receive the word. Now in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So they are the gifts of the same Spirit. The gifts of the same Spirit. Which Spirit? The Spirit of every man who is born again. The Spirit within every man who is born again. These are the gifts, the faculties of the same Spirit. Now today, rather than people admitting that the same Spirit, you now talk about anointing. That this one has a greater anointing. So, because they can't say a greater Spirit, they have now called it anointing. So that at least, even if the Spirit, if the Spirit can be the same, the anointing is greater than the Spirit. Amen. My anointing is bigger than yours. Like my Mercedes-Benz is bigger than yours. That's a book, I hope you know. My Mercedes is bigger than yours. It's a book. So say, my anointing is greater. You can't say, my Spirit of God is greater than your own. But my anointing. See? What are you talking about? You're talking about the gifts. But he says, the same Spirit. Hallelujah. So, if it's the same Spirit, and they're the gifts of the same Spirit, then, anyone with the same Spirit has the gifts of the same Spirit. Are you getting that? Is that clear? Good. So, it says in verse 5, and there are difference of administrations, but the same Lord. There are operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. Don't forget, the manifestation of the Spirit in the gift of Christ is given to every man. God did not give us Jesus Christ, then he gave us the Holy Spirit. I taught you that in this series. He gave Christ to us. And the Spirit is the gift of Christ in us. The Spirit is the gift of Christ in us. That is the man. So the manifestation of the Spirit is the Spirit. Amen. You're quiet. The manifestation of the Spirit is the Spirit. So his giving is to explain to you that now, if there is a manifestation of the Son of God, who is that manifestation? The Son. So the manifestation of the Spirit is the Spirit. For you to know that it's not talking about a manifestation to you. He says it's given. So it's a manifestation in you. It's given. Given there means it is given. Given to you. It has been given to you. The manifestation. Phanerousis. Unveiling, laying bare. No other spirit revelation can come after this. It's given to every man to profit from. So, let's look at an observation. I mentioned it in this series, I'll say it again. In Acts 2:17, when Peter began to speak about the outpouring of the Spirit, quoting Joel 2:28, he says in the last days, I will pour out. That word pour means to empty. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. It now says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my handmaidens and male servants in those days will I pour out of my Spirit and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens, billows of smoke, you know, blood, and all that. It's mentioned that, and it says that whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. Now, make an observation. And this is it. So that you can... There's something in Bible understanding. Always look at the sequence of events. Look at the sequence of events. See, Jesus said something in Matthew 19 that is instructive. He said it twice. He looked at the character of God, the character of man, and the character of the devil. And on those two occasions he said this, Matthew 19 and John 8. He said, when it came to me about whether a woman who is married to a man and then she's divorced and another man comes out and all that. And he says, look, in the beginning, it was not so. So there is a law of beginning. You will find God in the beginning. Now, most of the time, what happens after is unraveling that beginning to us. I'll tell you what I mean. Now, when it says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, that shows that in the mind of God, ministry is for all. That was the level. And in that Solomon's porch in Acts 2:1-4, they were all. That shows you again the mind of God, the beginning. The beginning carries an understanding for us. I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Now, having said that also, another thing we have observed. Now, that means if he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh in Acts 2, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. So, the first thing we are going to see is that there was not again, quote unquote, in case you want to see, an outpouring since then. Well, if he says, I'll pour my Spirit upon these folks, that means another set of folks. Upon all flesh. So Acts 2 is the beginning of the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, in looking at that, the sequence of people receiving from that outpouring teaches us something. In Acts 2:1-4, look at the sequence. Jesus in Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. In Luke 24:49, he says, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from an eye. Now we know, for instance, that it was the same set of instructions he gave in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. All authority that has given to me, go ye therefore, in case you like to say this one, baptizing men in the name of Father and the Holy Ghost, make it up with every nation, teach them to that thing I've commanded you, and you to the end of age. Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take off serpents. They dig them, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands, they shall recover. And after these things, the Bible was to shoot up, you know, out of their sight into heaven. And they went forth everywhere preaching the word, and the Lord confirming in verse 20, with signs following. So we can see that that captures that last, the parting shot Jesus gave them. Mark 16, Matthew 28, Luke 24. Now, John was the one that did not give us much details about the only thing John majored on in John 21 was how he spoke to Peter, feed my lamb. And then, you know, John rather gave us more detail. It was as though the things Jesus told them in the 40 days, some of those things had been mentioned earlier. So John rather took us through explanation. John 14, John 15, John 16. In John 14, he talks about, in my father's house there are many mansions, and then he went further to tell us that he that believes in me, verse 12, the works I do will do also, and greater works than this because I go to my father. So that explains all those instructions. In John 14 again, 16 to 17 talks about another comforter, the Spirit. In John 15, 26, same thing. In John 16, from verse 7 again, down, the same thing. John just explains to us that Acts 1, 8, Luke 24, 49, Mark 16, explanation. I don't understand what I'm talking about. Let me see. Okay. So, now, so we read all the things that are referring to the same thing. That outpouring of the Spirit. Now, in looking at that outpouring and the beginning, Acts 2, 1 to 4, what we readily see, listen to this now. It says, they were all filled with the Spirit. Now, we know being filled with the Spirit is not, unlike how some people teach it, with all respect, that a cup, you put water inside, and then water fools or something, and it pours. That pouring is being filled. That is milk gone sour. You understand? That's bad milk. That kind of milk will only poison you, probably kill you at the end of the day. Now, being filled with the Spirit in Bible means to be influenced by. That's what he's saying. To be influenced by. And the word being filled is actually taken from being drunk. When you are full of something to the extent that it influences your thoughts, your thinking, your words. Now, when he says being filled with the Spirit that was given, they spoke with tongues. Now, the second time we see that instance is Acts 8. When he says, for the Spirit had not yet fallen on them, for they are only baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, again, what happened? They laid hands, and we see that those folks gave utterances. In Acts 10, the house of Cornelius, when Peter was yet speaking, the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them that believe. From verse 44. The Holy Ghost fell on them that believe. Acts 10, 44. And then, verse 46, it says, oh, but we hear them speaking tongues and magnify God. Acts 19, verse 6, Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke in tongues and them prophesied. Again, Acts 9, 15 and 16, when Ananias laid hands on Saul, and was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we know that in Acts, 1 Corinthians 14, 18, Paul spoke in tongues, and all that. Now pay attention. Look at that beginning. Now, I know there's been an argument on what is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Now, E.W. Kenyon will tell you is the Word. Brother Hagin will say it's utterances, tongues. Okay, where do I start? I told them, Kenneth Kenyon. They are all saying the same thing. It's just that when you want to be serious, you say, no, I think it's the word. Well, tongues is the word. Amen. So, but the crux of that is, of that argument is to see something. That proof that people have and they speak in tongues, listen to this now, it is a proof of that outpouring. Speaking in tongues is a proof that all the gifts are resident. Because in the beginning that I just said to you, that was an obvious response. Let me say something. If you look at Mark 16, the focus of Mark 16 was power. 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 You shall lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. You shall take up serpents. That's demonic work. Take any dirty thing. The only thing he mentioned that was not power in the natural, he shall speak with new tongues. That's the only thing. And of course, said, and they preached the word, and signs followed. So you see that Mark's focus was on signs following the preaching of the word. One of those signs is not tongues. You understand what I just said? No, it's not tongues. So Mark focuses on power. But in focusing on power, he now talks about tongues. Now, look at me. Look at me. I want you to observe something. Let's look at those things. You will lay hands on the sick. Okay? You will cast out demons. You didn't say demons will come out of you. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You will take up serpents. Now, it now says you will speak with tongues. Tongues stands out there. Because that one relates to nobody. Tongues stands out. So tongues there will be like an evidence. Just like the Acts explanations. So, listen. Tongues will mean this is a proof for you to know that you have all the gifts of the Spirit. You have the outpouring, the manifestation of the Spirit. You will discover that tongues has a multidimensional effect in the new creation, which we tried to look at the last time, and we might see it again much later. So tongues will show you if a believer, when a believer speaks with tongues, that shows him he has the power gifts. It's a proof to him that he has the power gifts. Now, we know the power gifts refer to gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and faith. It's a proof to him. It's a proof to that man that has the power gift. Look at how Paul mentions tongues. There's a beautiful way he said, like I said, if you look at 1 Corinthians 14:18, it's something worth thinking of. You know, he once said that, I thank my God. And he says, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet, in the church, I'd rather use 10,000 words in understanding that I might be heard and understood than 10,000 words in tongues. That's something. That's something. For a man of great signs and wonders and miracles, that's something. That's something. So, in the outpouring of the Spirit, tongues has a proof producer effect on a man. So, let's just run to gifts of healings, because that's what we're teaching actually. In verse 28, it talks about gifts of healings, and then verse 30, it talks about the gift of healing. The healings is not in plural there. Now, we finished last week and we started looking at special ministry. I hope you can remember. Special ministries. And we said that it happens that some folks, there seems to be an enhancement of what everybody does. It's like there's an enhancement in this special ministries. I hope to God that I will anyway explain special ministries properly. I know I did teach it in concerning spirituals, the one we did, the what do you call that? Is that the forerunner of this series concerning spirituals? I mentioned that towards the latter stages for special ministries. Now let's understand special ministries. But sometimes some say, well, we are all the same. That we are all the same will be further explained. Now, in verse 4, it says, there are what? Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. 6 says, diversity of operations, it is the same God. That one is like to repeat yourself. Diversity of operations, it is the same God that operates all in all. That's what he's saying. Same God that operates all in all. Now, it's not perfect to understand special ministries. Just back up to 27 and 28 and 29 and 30. It says, we're all members of the body of Christ. Members in particular, we're all members in particular of the body of Christ. Then it says, in verse 27, God has set some in the church. And when you hear special, it doesn't mean special like, how do you say special? A special seat. It just means different. Always when you hear special, just look at diversity. Okay? Is that clear? So, let's now look at special ministries. Now, in that 28, it talks about the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps government, dances of tongues. In 29, now says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, have all the gifts of healings. It doesn't mention helps and government. Have all the gifts of healings. Do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. That's 29. 30, have all the gifts of healings and all that. 31 has his conversion, the best gifts. Now, there again, it lets you see that there are different ministries. So we can say that there are special ministries. That's why it says, of all. Ephesians 4:11 talks about the apostle. So he gave some. So when you see the word some, that already shows you they are special. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ, verse 12. So, that's special. That's different. When it says, apart from my son of all flesh, it didn't say, your sons and daughters shall be apostles, prophets. You get that? So, coming to understand that manifestation, we now see special ministries from that same manifestation. Again, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Look at, let's see that one. Truly,
Are you there? The signs of an apostle. The signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except if that I myself was not bothersome to you? Forgive me for this wrong. So you see, he said, look, there's nothing different. Like, look, the signs of an apostle. The signs. So, an apostle has signs. Because an apostle is a diversity of ministry. Amen. Are you following? An apostle has signs. Look at verse 18, Romans 15. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. I like that. By word. Listen to this. That is by preaching. And by deed. Is the verses that make us not link verse 19 immediately. What is deed? Deed through mighty signs. Are you following? And wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. This is what Deborah Shakarian, you know Deborah Shakarian, founder of Full Gospel. I love the man. I read his materials. I love the man. You know, I love the man so much. And T.L. Osborne will call the Full Gospel. That is, there's something called the Full Gospel. A gospel without signs and wonders is not the Full Gospel. It's cool in the message. But he said, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, again, it talks about the signs. Look at the word. It now says mighty. You know, that's a little bit different. It says mighty deeds. You know, I know the word. It says mighty deeds. So there are mighty deeds. I'll give you another instance. Look at how, look, just say you are laying hands on the sick, and the sick will recover in the Great Commission, as we call it. But in 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, the gift that is in you by the putting on of my hands and the elders. By prophecy, sorry. Laying of hands of the elders. In 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, by my own hands. That is special. That's special. That is special ministry. He had to say, by the elders. That is special ministry. So, while everyone, for instance, can lay hands on folks. You know, Ananias laid hands on Paul and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. But Ananias could not lay hands on Paul for ministry. That's special ministry. Now, you look at the folks who say they are escorts in fellowships or campuses, they lay hands on people. Even they will never again dream or whether in a vision or an encounter or a trance, ever do anything ministry for the rest of their life. So that is good to look at who laid hands on me. Amen. You just one guy on the street. It's just empty. There's a special ministry to it. See, the gift that is in you by the putting out of my hands. That's special. Just like those that Acts 13 experience when they laid hands on them and sent them forth, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. We've identified how the apostles laid hands, you know, on Stephen and Philip, and we saw instant response. You know why? The Bible says that Jesus gave his disciples
power. You know, there was a place that said he gave them authority. He said he gave them authority and power. Now, you know, we know power is tangible. Power is tangible. Anywhere you see Jesus, power move from Jesus to anyone, it's always an experience. It's not just words. Now, I submit to you that Jesus laid hands on those guys. He laid hands on them. Instantaneously, those guys just picked up his ministry on the streets of men. So, there is a special ministry that comes, you know, with diversities. So, and I said that special ministry looks like an enhancement of what everybody functions with. Look at this instance. Now, you know, Ananias was a disciple. He just went and saw Saul of Tarsus and laid hands on him. But you know that Samaria experience. Look at me. That Samaria, when Peter and John came, you know, it was a whole city. It had to take special ministry to actually get a whole city filled with the Holy Ghost. That's an enhancement of what Ananias did. I listen to Bonky sometimes. He will just pray a mass prayer. And you just see people in thousands. Try and do it in your cell meeting. I know you understand concerning spirituals and you know the pneumaticals and all that. You just discover that there's something special. You will see later why it is enhanced. Rehoboam will tell you his first encounter with the Holy Ghost was not like that as well. So there are special ministries to these things. Amen. There are special ministries to these things. Special ministries. Praise God. Folks have tried to pray for me before. I don't try to remember what they said. Because it was not recorded in heaven. But there are some, eh? Ha. Look at the case of Pastor Adeboye. He went to Tulsa for camp meeting. You know, himself and two other people. Three other people. I happened to speak with one of them. And they entered into Brother Hagin's office, 1979. So he asked them, what do you want? They all asked for things. But everybody said that, well, that then it was not a Jew of redeemed. It was not. It was actually an interpreter. I don't think he had ever seen a fly get healed in his life. He said, what do you want? He said, I saw some things in your meeting. He said, I want them to. But I said, are you sure that's all you want? He said, that's all. So he laid hands on him and said some other things about him. How he will pastor, how the church will pastor will go around the world and all that. Pastor Adeboye, by his admission, said that it was that day that I became another man. You know something? That's special. That comment not by just understanding the evolution of gifts in the church or how ministry gives development. That is an enhancement of that which you studied. He just said to him, and that was it. In 1994, I went for a seminar. And the man just prayed for me, just laid hands on me. I never could imagine I would be, it was not in my wildest dreams that me I would be teaching series. No, for where? One service, I'm done. I'm not preaching, I'm happy, I'm preaching. I came to the conclusion that, look, this thing is for people that are conk. The man did. Do you know that the next week, I just started to teach series. Series that I didn't like to teach. I started to teach people. That is an announcement too. I can remember that other people had laid hands on me before. Different prayers. Professor. But that was it. Do you understand? There is an enhancement. There's a special ministry when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, something like that is good. When they are prophesying, they bless the church. We are edified on a general level. They remind us of the word of God and all that. When some folks speak, what they will say is a direction. I'm not talking about those who just try to give a word of knowledge. There's a girl here. No. That's not what I'm saying. There's word of knowledge. No. I think there's just something that will be in the mind of God at that point. That is a special ministry. They're not going to impress people and then, suppose they stay long in total interpretation. Just stay long. And they repeat themselves in the interpretation. Oh, love. Forgive. No, take away forgive from love. What do you have? Don't leave the place and let's get something else. Let's have a diversity. Amen. So, there are actually diversities. Now, let us look at the, you know, I'm talking about the gifts of healing. You know, sometimes you just take us away, you bring us back, so that you can understand. Now, let's go back to gifts of healing. Now, Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, you know what that means now. And with power. Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I want you to take note of that. He used the word power. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Now, look at that word power. Power. Look at that word power. Power is tangible. Power is power. Is tangible, is might, is actually strength. If I use this word now, some people who are trying to catch some words is a force. Yeah, you see. That's Christian science. Whatever you like. But it's an active thing. So, listen well, let's examine it. Mark 5. Jesus, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. You know, that's not a confession, no. Power had gone out. Look at that statement. Power had gone out. That means there was power, something left. Jesus. A new power left him. Look at what the woman knew. The woman felt. In verse 29, Jesus knew the woman felt. So there was power. The gift of healing is a power gift. There was power. Now, look at Mark 7. Mark seems to take us through it. Mark 7. I didn't say Mark 7. I said Mark 7. And they bring unto him, verse 32, one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. He took him aside from the multitude. Sometimes it's just good to minister like that. Remember one time, I've done it many times. When I see a maddening crowd, and people that are sick, they don't even understand the maddening crowd. I'll take them out. Sometimes, I'll take them into somewhere far. Why does Jesus separate people when he wants to minister many times? We would look at that.
But just see it like this. Power gifts demand many times attention. You know, I mean, because those people get healed, they focus on him. Power gifts demand attention. You must ensure the recipient pays attention. Because it's tangible, it must be received. It's not floating in the air, it must be received. It is a particular transmission of power. There's a focus. The woman with the issue of blood touched him. There's only a focus on that. He took him aside and put his fingers into his ears. Don't forget, it's the multitude that brought him. He took them away from those who brought him and put his fingers into his ears. Now look at what he did again. Listen now. He spit and touched his tongue. That's a serious one. Spit. Don't do this. Don't brush your mouth regularly. Looked up to heaven. He sighed and said, Ephphatha. Those of you who say Ephphatha, make sure you have power. Ephphatha is not a tongue. It's not like a password. I mean, Ephphatha. You know, you guys say, what are you saying? Ephphatha simply means be open. Okay? Now, straight away his ears were open and the string of his tongue was loose and he spoke plain. Now, look at something. Why does Jesus use spit, clay? I'll tell you. Power must be felt. It must be felt. Some people are just deceiving themselves. You see, I don't use the anointing oil to be healed. I have the Holy Ghost within. And the guy is sick. He's just proud. You see, I have the Holy Ghost within and all that. But you know something? The guy with the anointing oil is healed. He is sincere about his level of faith. He will be healed. Do you understand? Is it just like someone? He doesn't want to ask you. He doesn't want to. He has told you he's a millionaire. So you see him trekking on the road. Can I give you money to take a car? I say, hard for wealth. And he's still trekking. Do you understand? He's just like, because he has refused to admit he's not a millionaire. So he will still be trekking. You see, if oil will make you heal, stay alive. Because when you are alive, that you can be in another diversity. Okay, let's go on. You see, he speaks because it is power must be felt. That's why we lay hands. Because it must be felt. Let's go. Mark 8. Again. This one is interesting. Mark 8:22. They brought a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Look at it, to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Can you imagine again? He asked this way of taking them away. And led him out of the town. You know, sometimes, let me tell you these specific instances. Sometimes you read and heal the multitudes. And you think that what he said is that he will not lay hands on everybody. No. It's just a summary of these individual accounts. Those specific accounts tell you how Jesus ministered. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? It was not like a magician healing everybody. That was why Mark 6 stood out. You think Jesus will get to the Decapolis? Oh yeah! And Peter, go and bring them out. They are here. Oh yeah! How many are you? Let's go to Nazareth. Sometimes he stays for 2 weeks. To some, he will take them away. Some will touch him. Some, he will spit on them. So, do you understand? They now say, and they were all healed. I taught a series years ago, divine healing technicians. We went into how they all were healed. There was now a place where he took them out of the multitude and he remained the same. He brought them back to the multitude and they were the same. The place is his hometown. Beware of your hometown. When you are done with ministry and you know that you are going in 5 days, go and start a church in your hometown. Let's move. Mark 8. He spit on his eyes. What do you think about spitting? Is it a new style of ministry? And put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw anything. You know, good thing that you should not ask people. Just go. No. Don't say, go. I know you are healed. He asked him. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. He didn't say, stay after me. I don't see men as trees. I'm a man of faith. He didn't say, you're a doubter. What did he do? He put his hands again. Sometimes, because it's tangible power, sometimes things may not happen like that. You know, there was a post like that, they were healed as they went. You see? And made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man how? Clearly. Sometimes the power of God is actually tangible. Sometimes, so what did he lay hands on the second time? It's not for the power. Why did he lay hands the second time? For him to feel. It's for the man. You know that? Ushiku. Okay, there's more. Take more. No, the power of God is not in kilojoules. It's the power. It's for the man to receive. That's why we lay hands the second time. That's why Wigglesworth was much more vociferous. Wigglesworth would say, what are you doing here? Say, didn't I pray for years there? You did. I didn't get my healing. He told the woman, you didn't get your healing. He said, turn around. Turn around. Just said, go! You were healed yesterday. Go back. That's in those days. That's the day. PM News will put your name on the what do you call it? You understand? So, he laid his hands again. Matthew 14:36. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent him out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that he might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Luke 6:19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him. And he healed them all. Now look at Acts 4:33. It says, with great power. Now what is power? Ability. Gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them. There was power in what they were doing. Acts 5:14-16, Peter's shadow. That's power. Whenever you are seeing things, hands used, clothes, feet, water, that's power. Tangible power. That is the essence of those things. In Acts 6:8, notice another person, Stephen. He was full of power, and he did great signs and wonders and miracles amongst the people. Stephen, Acts 6:8. Now, in Acts 8:19, when that sorcerer saw Peter and John lay hands, say, give me this authority, that whomsoever I lay my hands upon will receive the Holy Ghost. Now, what did he foresee? He foresaw. He saw that something was happening. Something you can tangibly talk about was happening between the hands and the people. They were responding to something as they laid hands. So he said, give me this authority. Which I said earlier, it had to do with the fact that these guys were apostles. You know, we said that gifts of the Spirit work with the magnitude of your work. There's a magnitude of your work. You know, you will see that some people, if you go for crusades often, it will be as though, this is just a pointer to what I'm going to explain it. To be as though the gifts of the Spirit have increased. Like an enhancement. You know why? Because of the kind of work it is. The reason why some believers don't ever have an encounter with the power of God is because they just remain floor members. No matter how much prayer and fasting you do, the gifts of God work with atmospheres. They work with certain things in an enhanced fashion. So, Acts 19:11, again, Paul, Bible says, special miracles were wrought by the hand of... Did you know that when the Bible was talking about the apostles, it says great, mighty. It always had something to it. Special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul, such that handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from his body, put on the sick, and all that were oppressed. And the Bible says that, you know, demons and evil spirits left people. They departed from them. Acts 19:11. Now, let's now say something specifically. Now, in looking at the tangible power, the gifts of healing, when it is tangible in operation, oftentimes it is associated with driving out demons. Demons are driven out. Now, pay attention to what I'm going to say now, by power. If you have ever cast out a demon, then there is nothing hindering you from having a creative miracle. Nothing. Nothing. So, demons, if you look at Luke 6 instance, Acts 19:11, Acts 5, the one we just read, Peter, you will see demons spoken of. That's why Peter will say, and all that were oppressed of the devil. Power is involved. That means there's an ability that drives demons out. There's an ability. Things actually happen. Now listen to this now. The other gift in the power gifts classification is the miracle, gifts of workers of miracles, or the display of miracles, which is primarily involved in casting out demons as well. But when there is a demon active in a disease, you will find the gifts of healing and the workings of miracles work together in that tangible operation. You will see it. Sometimes, and let me say this, you don't necessarily have to say, deal with a demon.
Sometimes the reason why you may have to deal with the demon specifically is because of the person. Some folks may just be very responsible for why demons are working in their lives. So you may need to handle the demon personally. But really, if the gifts of healing is in operation in that meeting, in this fashion, you don't have to. Demons will leave by that operation of the gifts of healing. They will just leave. That's why sometimes you have just some people scream. And let me just say this. Sometimes when the tangible power of God is in operation, you see some, and some people think that they think it's demonic, particularly some ladies. You see them scream. Do you know why they do? Listen. It's because it's in the realm of the senses. And they are not taught. It's in the realm of the senses. So, that's just the way they react to things. I remember a little, I had to teach. I will tell you what to be doing when that happens to you. So I taught her what to do. So she stopped screaming. If you see a meeting, for instance, when people, you know that sometimes you see people fall under the power, but you see some that they be strange. There's a way to get a hold of something in that kind of a meeting. I remember a meeting I went for Reverend George Adigboye. I was preaching. I think it was 94. In Ilorin. It was a convention. I will never forget that day. And this Brother Boye, I think that was his name. Maybe I'm wrong. He just led worship differently. He sang Ancient of Days. Then he now sang some songs. So Reverend George could not preach. So he began to minister. Till date, I've seen just a few operations of God's power like that in my life. Till date. I think I've seen some. Whether on TV, on tape, in books written. I'm talking about something. It was, you know, you just know that this is a different one. In the meeting, there's something to do. Do you know that? The same way folks around Jesus in Mark 5 did not know anything was happening. You could be in a meeting and somebody is actually receiving ministry and you receive nothing. Maybe because you are used to Jesus' clothes, or you are used to people falling apart in a meeting. Some of you are just ushers. You know? Some ushers are very, they are actually ushers spiritually. They are not ushers, they're just self appointed, helping us pack the chairs. And you say, sorry, idiot. So, that tangible power drives out demons. Drives out demons on its own. I don't know if you have ever laid hands on a possessed person. And almost without saying anything, the person was calm. Almost without saying anything. Like the thing left itself. Maybe just a come. And that was it. There was a tangible power. It wasn't what you said, though. If you think it's what you said, ask another brother to come and say after you. A brother in Christ, in the world church. Amen. There's tangible power in the gifts of healing. Praise God. You know? I think I'll close here. Praise God. Amen. So you just go think about that. We'll start looking at that next week. I want us to look at the interplay, you know, the interplay between the workings of miracles and the one I'm excited to talk about is workings of miracles, gifts of faith, and gifts of healings working in the same at the same time. You know, you see what how the Bible describes it when they walk at the same time. And let me tell you something. If a preacher, things I there's something I know, learn to. You know, there's a preacher in Nigeria, for instance. People say, someone was telling me that, oh, they don't like him again in this country. They don't like him again. I said, where exactly? He said, in this country. I said, well, it's not him. So when we reject a ministry gift, it's not the person that's lost anything. Ministry is not about reputation. As much as we think it is, no. If it was, then Paul had none. Jesus had none. It's about people not receiving from the person. See, no matter what, we realize that that person is a custodian of the grace of God. And I said, well, this same person, you know, and I mentioned so many events the person had held, crusades, and very outstanding workings of God's power. You know, I said, so it's a case of us. You know, the way we receive. It's a case of us. I don't think a bunkie has the same results he has in Germany. Not even in America, like he has in Africa. When it comes to the power gifts, get a hold of hungry people. People who are hungry. You can easily get discouraged when people are not hungry. When it comes to the power gifts, get a hold of hungry folks. Those who are hungry. Look at how they went to Jesus. They will come to him. You know, that was something. They will come to him. Seek that they might touch the hem of his clothes. That's important. Amen. Alright, be blessed. Let's bow down our heads and give thank God a blessing. One thing we are teaching all this for is to prepare us for a harvest of the gifts of God. You know, so for some folks, when it comes to functioning in the power of God, it's a season of their lives. But I made it a commitment that I will never let that happen to you. That we'll keep reminding ourselves every year about these things. Trust me, in 40 years from now, every year, I'll be talking about, you know, the demonstration of the power of God. So that you know that it's not a season in our lives. The gift of God in us. Praise God. Be blessed. Stand to our feet and bless God.